This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
10 minutes after 10, it's a Thursday today, and we are wrapping up Disability Awareness Month. Who could do it better than Saul? Nobody. Saul, good evening, sir. How are you?
Great, and how are you, my brother? And good evening to the power listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rasol. So today we are talking about something that, to be honest with you, I never thought exists. Invincible disabilities.
In fact, I'm very emotional because I have someone very dear to me, Janine Dry, who's been having an invisible disability for many years, and she hasn't been at work. If you look at her pictures, she's extremely beautiful. You wouldn't think she's sick. And in fact, when I first read this concept of invisible disability on Facebook, I then became interested, and I chased after the person we are hosting tonight, who will tell us about what this concept of invisible disabilities mean. But for me, it's very emotional because I talk to Janine every week, and she tells me about all the pains she's encountering. Even though if you look at her, you look at her beauty, then you say, but she's not sick. Heidi will tell us about even the fears, the sufferers of invisible disabilities are harboring, and what society treats them and how it treats them. And after describing what these invisible disabilities are, she will also advise us how we should be dealing with people who are suffering from them. And she also has an advice to doctors who are treating people with invisible disabilities.
And she's,
it's a very interesting subject, even though, like I said, it's emotional for me because someone very dear to me suffers from such an invisible disability.
Heidi, good evening to you.
Good evening, Kaviso, and good evening to you, Saul. Thank you for inviting me onto the show, and good evening to all your listeners as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, hello, Heidi.
What is invincible disability?
Okay, it's actually called invisible disability.
Invisible, yes. Invincible is something else. You're right. Invisible disabilities, yes.
Yes. It's actually a hidden disability. So invisible disabilities is an umbrella term that captures a whole spectrum of hidden disabilities or challenges that, you know, people face every day. There are thousands of sufferers in South Africa. And like Saul was saying to you, it's not very obvious. Because when you think of people with a disability, it's normally somebody with an aid, either somebody in a wheelchair or walking aid or a cane. You know, and then it's obvious that that person is suffering from a disability. With a hidden disability, it's not that obvious.
Can you give us some of the examples of this invisible disability?
Okay. There are various, you know, a very long list of invisible disabilities. Some people can be suffering from diabetes, sugar diabetes, and, you know, they look healthy, but in actual fact, they don't feel that healthy. Can be something like fibromyalgia, which is a relatively new disease, which affects your muscles and your whole neural system, and can be something like chronic back pain, you know, where people are constantly in pain, but, you know, we don't take it that seriously because we just think, oh, it's a normal back pain, not knowing that there's underlying issues which causes the spine to deteriorate slowly. So those are just a few of the examples that,
yeah,
you know, that
yeah.
we have.
Could epilepsy be one of them?
Excuse me? Yes. There's, like I said, there's epilepsy, there's sugar diabetes, there's chronic fatigue syndrome, there's
lupus also.
Lupus, Crohn's disease, cancer is also another one. So it's not that easy to just judge somebody from how they look, you know. You never know what the underlying condition is. Most of the time, people are too embarrassed to mention it until the condition becomes so debilitating that they are like suffering, unable to work.
Rasol, you wanted to come in there?
No, Heidi also talks from experience because after she went through this, she lost friends, her family deserted her, and people even had problems with her personality. Maybe she can quickly take us through that before we look at all other general problems that are experienced by the sufferers.
Yes, go for it, please, Heidi.
Okay. My story goes like this. I was involved in a car accident in 2011, and I had excruciating back pain. I was then sent four x-rays, and the x-rays showed that I had a few damaged discs. And I went to doctors, up and down to doctors, because this pain just kept on getting worse and worse and worse. And eventually, after almost 5 years, it was discovered that I had a rare type of cyst on my spinal cord, which had become activated because of the trauma to my spine when I had the accident. And in that 5 years, I basically lost my job. I was unable to work. I went up and down to doctors who were unable to explain to me, or just wouldn't believe that I was in that amount of excruciating pain, because they obviously couldn't see the cause of the pain. And I lost family members. I lost my home. And, you know, it was a very, very dark stage in my life. And this continued for 5 years. Then eventually I managed to get hold of a neurosurgeon who took whatever I said to him seriously enough to do an MRI scan. We injected a type of a dye into my spinal cord and was able to pick up that I had this rare type of cyst, which was actually activated because of the trauma. So the degree of suffering that people with invisible disabilities go through is extremely traumatic. There's so much loss that you go through, and then also you have to cope with the fact that you are now permanently disabled, and yet at the same time you look quite fine, so nobody believes you. There's times when I actually feel fine, and then, you know, I'm able to do things for myself, but then the next minute or the next hour, I'm in so much pain that I can be bedridden for a week. sometimes up to a month bedridden.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something that is embarrassing to a lot of people. You don't want others to think of you as being an invalid or disabled. And you're not exactly disabled, because there are times when you're able to cope with, you know, with the pain or with your symptoms. And other times you just, you're not able to cope. So you do need that support system from your family. You do need to become dependent on people, which is also not a very nice thing. You become dependent on medication, and you just try and go about your day-to-day without people looking at you, you know, with pity in their eyes, or feeling as though you're inadequate, basically.
Yeah, yo, Rasol, this is big, eh?
Yeah, it is. And in fact, coming to think of it, we do have such cases. And even though we just didn't know what it was all about, perhaps maybe Heidi, because I've read her notes, she has some guidelines that she gives to people who are suffering from such invisible diseases. Perhaps before we go to the society, maybe she can give advice to people who could be suffering from all these pains that they can't explain as to what they need to do.
Heidi?
Yes, I think the basic fears that all sufferers have is not being believed, because you look fine on the outside, but your body basically is attacking itself on the inside. You also have a fear of being rejected by society and family, because they often, you know, people with disabilities that are not visible are labeled as being attention seekers or lazy, or, you know, just hypochondriacs, not being as sick as you pretend to be. You know, so it's extremely difficult for them. And what society on the whole can do to assist is when a loved one is suffering, to try and familiarize yourself with their condition as much as possible. Also be supportive. Try to understand just how frustrating it might be for the sufferer not to be able to do things that they love doing and, you know, used to do before, and how they can't do it anymore. Some sufferers might need caregiving to a degree, and
yeah,
this might be extremely humiliating for them. So try to understand that. Also, don't judge them on the days when their flares might be, you know, at the highest. A flare is basically when you have flare-ups of pain or flare-ups of feeling weak or flare-ups of just not being, just feeling unwell.
Yeah.
So, you know, on those days when they're not feeling well, just try to understand that. And try to understand that there will be moments or days when they don't have flares. You know?
Yeah. Someone might say, you know, if you call it disability, you might just escalate it or blow it out of proportion, because then it means everyone who's sick is disabled.
Yes, in some cases it is extremely, you know, it is a disability. Because, for instance, with somebody with chronic back pain, you're not able to bend, you're not able to sit for long, you're not able to walk far, you're not able to stand for long. So it is a disability. It's just that you don't have that crutch, you don't have a wheelchair, you don't have but it is just as debilitating as somebody who's in a wheelchair, for instance. It's just that, you know, it's not that obvious to the next person that you're not able to sit for longer than half an hour, for instance.
Yeah.
So that is why we call it a disability.
Yeah, and there are no grants there. You know, I can't see without my glasses on. I can't see clearly. So maybe, you know, I must also get a grant there, result. Maybe it's a disability. You know?
Yeah, this is the other struggle that we have. You know, people with invisible disabilities are not always able to sustain the employment. Because, I mean, nobody wants to hire somebody that's going to be maybe be bedridden for the next week and then come into work and then be bedridden maybe for 2 days and then come into work. So, you know, most of us are not able to sustain a full-time job.
Yeah.
And getting a diagnosis for an invisible disability is extremely difficult. First of all, because doctors don't really take you serious. They look at you on the outside and they say, oh, but you look fine, you know, you look healthy. And the other thing is that the tests, whatever tests they send you for, become so expensive that a lot of people just give up without getting a diagnosis. So the average time for a person with an invisible disability, like fibromyalgia, for instance, can take up to 3 years. But myself, it took 5 years for me to be diagnosed. And in that 5 years, you have no income. You have doctor's bills that you need to pay. You have a lot of psychological damage done to you, you know. And you just go into a deep, deep depression because you know there's something wrong with you. You don't feel well, and yet nobody else can see.
All right. Guys, before I let you go, Nina wants to chip in as well. Nina, good evening.
Hi, good evening, Tabisa. Tabisa, I'm so glad that you're discussing this. And I just want to commend your guest and to make one or two points. Mm. The number one thing is that even internationally, the issue of invisible disability isn't understood properly. And certainly communities don't understand it. Nevertheless, there are contexts in other countries where, in fact, you can get a grant if you are disabled. And able essentially means that you are able to hold down a job. So, you know, even the thing about sort of making a joke about sort of glasses, it's actually problematic. It is, you don't know that, I understand that, but it is abusive to the sufferer. Because the fact is we do have glasses available for people, but we don't have a system that properly understands a person who may not be able to work because they're bedridden for several weeks. So people need to be able to make those distinctions. And in terms of, you know, you doing the service of educating the public, I think part of that service is to say that we behind in terms of understanding the concept of invisible disability. And you need to understand that while some people might be able, you know, they might not see properly, but they can get a pair of glasses and they can work every single day. A person with an invisible disability may not be able to do that because at times of the month, they won't be able to operate. So it's quite a complex concept, but it's definitely been explored. I'm just going to tell you sort of internationally and in contexts where there are better sort of medical support systems. So just sort of support and understanding to your guests and to everybody who's listening. Make a little paradigm change in your heads. Thanks so much, Tabitha.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That's Anina and Craig Hall there. What's your parting shot to all of us, Brasol?
Yeah, I'd say even the issue of autoimmune diseases came to the fore in 2018 after President Jacob Zuma's son, Vusi, died from lupus. It was in the news, but from there, it died down, and I think we need to maintain this momentum so that even policymakers could begin to take this very seriously, and it should be classified as a disability so that people who are suffering from these invisible diseases could also qualify for social grants. My parting shot is I'm sending my love to Janine and to her two beautiful daughters, and to say she should remain strong, because whenever she's having all these problems, she always has this difficulty that she can't cry in front of her children, so that they don't see their mom crying. So I'm sending my love to her and the daughters. And to all the listeners out there, let's begin to make sure that we make our people aware of these diseases, but beyond that, especially in rural areas, we don't say it's witchcraft. Mm. This isn't witchcraft. Mm. These are diseases that medical science can account for them.
Beautiful, Brasol, as always, thank you so much. Heidi, thank you for sharing with us your story, and thanks for educating us as well. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tabitha, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Heidi. Goodbye.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.